Well, hey guys, happy Friday. Hopefully that theme music puts you in a good mood and reminds you that, hey, we're a big family of awesome, amazing professional practitioners working to help people with their health. You've tuned into the FDN Fantastic Friday Call once again this week. Again, hope you guys are having a great week and you're sailing into a good weekend. It's September 6th, 2019. So 2019 is moving right along here. We've got a few months here. Actually, no. Yeah, but less than 2 months away is the FDN conference, our second annual conference coming up. So that's definitely a big mark on my calendar looking forward to. I'm your host, Brandon Mollet, on your call with you guys almost every single week. I usually have a co-host. Brendan usually pops in with me. Sometimes Tess will jump in, another mentor, or Brandy, or whoever can jump on and help answer some questions. We like to come to you guys each week live and answer questions, connect with you guys, give you some updates, just let you know what's going on, just let you get to know us a little bit more, who we are, what we do. And we try to get really honest and practical with this call. We're all doing the work. Every mentor we have, everybody that's on staff, has a full-time or a part-time business doing FDN. And so we're in the trenches doing the work that you're either training to do or already doing somewhat, but you're adding the FDN methodology and the way that we work to what you're doing. So we try to come to you each week with really practical, real-world things and answers and solutions and at least ways to think about things. So that's what we're about. If you guys want to ask a question and make a comment, whatever, just say hello. Happy to hear from you guys. The number to call in is 347-637-1378. Again, 347-637-1378 is that number. Hit one on the keypad. I'll know that you're there, and I'll bring you on, and we'll talk a little bit. You can have, you know, two, three questions is probably okay, unless we have a big, long line. If you have a few questions, we're happy to answer those. Or if you're listening right now online, which I see a lot of you guys on the switchboard there, just hit one on the keypad when it comes time, and we'll answer your question again. Or you can make a comment if you want to add to the answer that we gave or suggest some resource. We're all ears. None of us consider ourselves gurus, and we know everything about everything or can recall it in a split second when we're asked about that. So that's part of what we do at the FDN. It's kind of the collective brain, right? We've got FDN, which is Reed's brainchild and was developed over a long period of time of down-in-the-trenches work. And that's great, but he doesn't know everything. I don't know everything. That's why we have everybody coming together with our community. As a trainee, you've got a trainee community there with the Facebook page where you're able to connect. Also with AFDMP, with our association, you have that aspect of things as well. Right, so that's a community. That's where we try to harbor, try to grow, try to build up. Is that, hey, you're not alone out there. Maybe if you graduated the course years ago, it was a little more that way. You know, we had the Friday call was a big thing. Didn't have a conference. Didn't have really any get-togethers. Really didn't utilize Facebook really all that much. It just wasn't on the radar at that time. So now we've got even better than ever with technology, with all the things we've set up, ways to connect with other practitioners, with trainees, to move you through the course and just become a better practitioner. Typically, we don't hold back information. It's like, well, you're going to have to pay some money for that, or now that's my trade secret. I can't share that with you. We're pretty free with information here because we know there's plenty of people to work with. There's not competition out there. Everybody's going to draw the people that that they need to work with. I believe that 100%. All right. Well, I think it's maybe just me flying solo today, guys. So if you want to jump in and say hey, ask a question, I certainly would appreciate that. Otherwise, this is going to be a big, long monologue here. And that's okay. I can fill the time, but great to talk with you guys live. I do want to read off some graduate names for sure. Got a few people to celebrate and congratulate here this week, and I'll see if I can find any announcements that we have going on. But we'll just mention again, FDN Conference coming up really quickly, less than 2 months away. Hopefully you've made plans to come. There may still be tickets left. I don't know. I didn't talk to Jen about that before. There may still be some tickets left there. Check in with us and see what's up with that. I know maybe accommodations are going fast too, but it's going to be an awesome time. We had our first annual conference last year about the same time in San Diego, so we're coming back to San Diego again. and that's going to be November 1st through the 3rd of this year, 2019, in San Diego, California, in at the Hard Rock Hotel there, a nice venue, a little bigger than last time because we're growing, which is tremendous, and it's going to be an awesome weekend. So we've got the standard weekend plans where you've got the speakers you're going to get to listen to, the times we're going to get to break out and speak to some of those folks. We're going to have a good time also, do some mentoring sessions. We're going to do some have a good time also. We'll have a big dinner on Saturday nights, how we did last time. I think we're going to do that again. But you're going to be able to connect with a whole bunch of people. The speakers are awesome. We always have an amazing lineup of folks that you have quite a bit of access to. But at the same time, it's also us guys get to connect with us guys, right? That's the cool thing, us to be together in one place and talk and network and connect and just build those relationships. That's really, really important to us at FDN. So that's coming up there. And then if you want to tack it on at the end there, Brendan is going to come on with a big discussion on the OAT panel, I think, on Sunday afternoon. So this is going to be part of and probably a lot of what he's going to talk about with the new OAT training, with the advanced module that we're going to have. So if you want to know about the organic acids test, test has been around for a long time, a well-respected test. Brendan's becoming fast the expert on that. If you saw his little training there on AFTMP, he sort of got into it there, but it's going to go much deeper with that training. You can add that on. You can stay for a little longer, stay through Sunday there, and enjoy that training. I think maybe still head out Sunday night if you had to get home. And that will become our FDN Advanced Module for the OAT panel, which brings that number of advanced modules up to 6. So that means we can fully instate FDN Level 2 certification. So you'll get more details about that later, but many people have asked about that. Other certification courses have, there's a Level 1, some have Level 2, Level 3. Can I get that sort of certification? Can I go deeper into things? Well, that's what we're trying to provide you guys. The individual modules are great as a standalone. They're wonderful sort of self-contained trainings that filter everything through the lens of FDN and how we think about things, and it connects back to those basic labs, but it gives you that additional information that a lot of us are looking for. So you have those. You can take them just one off, but then those will collectively, once you build up enough of those there, the 6 trainings there, that's going to mean you're going to be a Level 2 practitioner with FDN. So exciting stuff as these things come together, but that's coming up. So if you want to get a preview to that, be a great value. I think, I wish Brendan was here to confirm, I think if you do the OAT training there at the conference, then you're going to get the official lesson module there with FDN Advanced. You're going to get that for free. I believe that's the right thing. So don't hold me to that. I need Brendan to confirm that. But so lots of cool stuff with the OAT panel. Love to train on different things, and you guys want the information, so we're going to give it to you. Anyhow, sign up for that. Come and hang out with us in California here in November. No matter where you are in this process, if you are still a trainee, if you're a graduate, of course, if you're even considering the course and you want to know more about what this company does, what the organization does, what we look like, what we what we smell like, what we sound like, whatever, you're going to be around us and around FDN practitioners. If that's your tribe group that you want to be around with, is what you're being called to do, then you can sign up that weekend if you want. They had many people to do that last year. So certainly come be a part of that. You won't regret it. It'll be a very good investment for you all around, for sure. So FDNconference.com. So FDNconference.com. That's the website. All the details are there. You can check it out. Check the Facebook pages for different specials and incentives and things like that we have going pretty much at all times. So definitely check it out. I don't have an AFTMP update, but you're hopefully getting a little more information about AFTMP, especially if you're a trainee. We're starting to try to post some more things on the Facebook page, make sure the emails go out, opening up some of those trainings there to everybody. That's a trainee, even not even a member of AFTMP. So just let you know more of what we have, because we feel like it's a benefit to you. That's the big reason there. We want to make sure that people are very happy. I'll speak for Reed there. Many times he said to me, even just last week when we talked, he wants to deliver an excellent product and to feel like everybody is moving through that course, getting what they want, and then they're knowing how to utilize that. He takes that to heart. It bothers him if we don't have a graduation rate where we want it to be, and people aren't out there running labs and doing their thing. It takes it to heart, like I said. So anything we can do to help you guys to achieve that goal, as with the big goal of FDN, is to spread the mission of FDN. What we do, it's not just to graduate; it's beyond that. So that's the heart behind that. I know I say it like it's my thing. I say it every week, but just so you guys know that that's where we're coming from. So that's why we do this Friday call. Hey, you got questions? You want to jump on? We're again happy to talk with you. All righty. Graduates. Let's talk about some graduates now. So this is a fun time each week. I think we had six or seven last week, and we've got three this week, which is tremendous. And let's see, we're hanging in the U.S. This time here. So we've got Utah and Wisconsin and Texas all represented here very proudly by these folks. So I've got three to announce and congratulate this week. We've got Dan Hansen, and he's from Utah. Then Dr. Raquel Yarick, she's a chiropractor in Wisconsin. And then Jenna Longoria, I think she's the period guru, I believe. I think I got that right, Jenna. Anyhow, Jenna Longoria, and she's from Texas. Guys, congratulations. Good stuff. And I will say something for Dan. He's got an IT background like me, so we connected on that level too. So, guys, again, congratulations, and look forward to seeing where things will go with you, with what you've got and what you want to accomplish with. I know you all three of you guys are super happy with how things went and what you're going to do with the certification. You already seen how you're going to work it into the business. So, good job, guys. Again, all righty. Well, again, I think it's just me tonight, guys. So we'll just we'll go through some questions here, and hey, I'm seeing you guys with some hands raised as well, so that's wonderful. Happy to talk with you guys on that. So, all right. Well, hey, we'll hit some questions here for a while. 45 minutes left in the call today, and wow, a lot of you guys, I love it. All right, you guys are lining up like crazy, so I'm going to grab the first one here. This is a 303 area code, and it's 305 is the next three digits. Are you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, 303. Who's this?
Yeah, appreciate it. Name's Chris Wilson. I'm actually in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. It's just a old number.
Oh, well, hey, Chris, what's
going
on?
Yeah, it's going great. Just really hot down here. Other than that, all is well. And I've got two questions for you. I'll give you the simple one first. And I was listening to a previous FDN support call, and I recall Brendan mentioning that upon graduation, the first two advanced courses he recommended were the blood chemistry and the thyroid. I wanted to get your take on that. And then question number two is, I've got a 57-year-old male with a highly reactive immune system. He's also vegan, and he's awaiting me to graduate so he can do the FDN protocol of our testing. He has had a stool sample already ran, a blood profile, a vitamin mineral test done. His stool sample came back negative with H. pylori, and he's vitamin B12 deficient, and that's obvious because he's vegan, which I don't know if he's supplementing with any B vitamins right now at the moment. He texted me today and said that he's having some type of reaction where he's experiencing headaches and burning sensation in his face and eyes, and I don't know if that was something that he'd ate or whatnot. He did just come back from a mission trip in India where he had come in contact with some toxic air. And so he's been going through his own kind of detox protocol himself, but nothing seems to be working. And so I've been talking up a whole lot our FDN protocol and our philosophy, and he's very, very interested in running things. So my question kind of comes, whenever you have someone that has already had a lot of testing done. I know Reed has mentioned in the course that oftentimes we'll see patients that have already gone through a lot of testing. How can we, confidently say that they should do our testing on top of what they've already done? Because I know it'll just kind of paint a lot more broader and bigger, better picture, especially with our philosophy and systems in place. And I do also know that sometimes you can get the false negatives on an H. pylori reading, and I don't know any type the names or the labs behind the type of test that he ran, who they were through, so I can't really speak to none of that. And that's all I've got. I really appreciate these support calls each week and everything that y'all are doing. I'm loving the course, and I'll let you take it away from here, Brandon. Thank you so much.
Wow, Chris, good stuff, man. Thanks for calling in. I think I've seen you there on the trainee page there, popping up with some questions. So I love it. Love questions, love all that. So, again, thanks for calling in here. So I'll put you on mute here because I got a little bit of background noise so they can hear me. And I'll grab you back on here in a second for a follow-up there, anything else you got going. So, well, first of all, yeah, so the first part of the question there is, you know, what of the FT and advanced modules should you take first? So I would probably be in agreement with Brendan there on functional blood chemistry and thyroid being the two ones that I feel like I use the most often. Now with DHA Lab partnering with them, we've got a much easier way to access some of that testing there through blood. And so knowing how to interpret those and get a feel for what's going on, I think is really useful. Of course, we're not diagnosing, we're not treating, we're not trying to figure out if they have a disease or not, but you're trained through that module to look at these through the lens of a functional medicine side of things approach. Like, so we're looking for trends, we're looking for things that we can actually work on that most of the time are going to corroborate what you're seeing on the lab results. Maybe give you something a little bit new. There's a lot of themes and some trends there. So very, very useful if you are doing blood work with your clients, or this is very common for me, and probably you guys too out there, they come to you with blood work. Oh, hey, here's the last labs I had ran with my doctor. So I don't want to just say, well, I don't do blood work, let's not even look at that. I'm going to run the FTN labs. I also like to throw those numbers into that spreadsheet, start to analyze those and get a feel for what's going on. I might see some, you know, themes with low stomach acid, maybe low protein issues. You know, maybe we're seeing dehydration going on, maybe low B vitamins, liver issues, gut pathogen issues. You can see some of these themes coming up in the blood test. So you can take that information and say, okay, well, look, this is showing there's maybe got some infection going on here. Stool test is showing the same thing. We have another point of connection along with your symptoms. We've got, like, you know, triple correlation that's going on here. That's cool. And, of course, you can use some of that blood work if they're doing that on a regular basis. Use that as part of your gauge and your guide. So sort of in the same theme as blood work, we've got the thyroid, right? So you get to learn about how to interpret thyroid blood test and approaching that from a natural perspective, what things you can do. So I agree. Those are the two most useful, I think, as far as I go. The other ones are great also. But if you're looking to go deeper and do more training, those would be the two that I would recommend. You know, at the same time, balance just getting new clients. That's an important thing to do also. So we'll say that for sure. Chris, I'll unmute you now, bring you back here, and if you want to add something to that, I can, or if you want to just go on to the next question, I will.
No, that was great information. I was looking over the advanced modules and then also hearing what Brandon was going to do with the organic acid test. It's phenomenal. So I love all the information and the advanced modules that are in the course to take upon graduation. So I just wanted to get a little bit more guidance on where you would direct trainees to kind of go to get more education once they graduate.
Very good. Very good. Yeah, that combined with AFTMP, what's offered there, you have all your need. That's for sure. And I think, Tess, are you on with me? Are you there?
I am. Yeah, I've been here.
All right, awesome. Yeah. I'm sorry about that. I forgot we had the schedule change there. So just I'll pause right here and intro Tess as one of our mentors. She's been on before with us several times and provided good answers. So, Tess, I'll let you jump in here if you want to say something about the FDA advanced modules before we talk about Chris's other case here.
Okay. As talk about being on the spot here, I have to make sure I'm following the conversation. But as we I was listening to Chris's conversation. But you want me to just talk about the FDN advanced modules, what's available, and
are there any of those modules that you find the most useful that, like, you are using on a fairly regular basis?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Actually, they're all great. It's really hard to choose, right? But I really love. I think that for FDN graduates, taking the advanced hormone module is a really good idea because I think they find out that as much as they know and as much as they learn, it like piques their interest once they're in the course and they're learning all that to want to even know more. So I definitely recommend taking that one. Blood Chem is one of our newer modules, and it's definitely been a really big hit, and a lot of people are starting to look more into Blood Chem. Even if you aren't thinking about offering that in your business, understanding it when your clients bring you that information can also be very helpful too. So that's great.
Yep.
Yeah, so there's, of course, there's the Oxalate module, which is great. You know, a lot of people don't know much about oxalates, and it's hard to find a lot of that information online as well. So I think that's a good choice. Like I said, it's really hard to choose. I know we have some new ones coming up, like you were just talking about the new oats one coming up. I think that some of the questions I get as a mentor too is thyroid, because you know, we're really trained in that Western medicine model that everyone is used to. We've kind of been sort of programmed to think certain symptoms definitely coincide with thyroid. And of course, Reed teaches us in the course that there's a reason we don't look at the thyroid first. And but when trainees are going through the course and they recognize a lot of those symptoms, and they first thing that they are thinking about in those early modules is thyroid, I think taking the advanced thyroid function module can help you kind of have a better understanding of that as well. Now, I haven't taken the Qigong one. Have you done that one?
I have not. I have not taken that one yet. So that'll be new territory for me for sure.
I know I have a couple of clients locally that actually take Qigong classes and really just rave about how stress relieving they are. So I'm actually really intrigued. That one's on my list.
There you go. Exactly. So check it out. It's not just a commercial for those. It just happened to kind of fall that way. But people, you know, most of us that take this course, we're learn freaks and we want to know more about things. We want to study about different labs that are out there. And but, you know, we'll balance that with also the fact that some of the ones I'm talking about, you know, I don't run them very often. You know, that's not like it's, oh, everybody gets blood chemistry, everybody gets an oat panel, everybody gets, you know, a SIBO test. It's those five basic labs. That's where most of the work is done, because those are the primary foundational things. It's good to be able to go to that deeper level, on a secondary level, to have access to that, like HTMA, I like that very much. Go to that next level you can, but don't underestimate the power of what you've been trained in with the course on the foundational side of things. That's going to do a whole lot of good, so keep that in mind.
Absolutely.
And the second part of Chris's question here. Just to reiterate here, 57-year-old male, vegan, some health challenges going on, new things popping up, did some travel. I think the crux of the question was, is if somebody's come to you and they've already done a lot of testing already, what makes you think that we can help them out there? So I had a lot of things come to mind. I'll throw one thing out, then Tess will kick it to you. Maybe we'll go back and forth here a little bit. But when somebody says they had a lot of testing done, I always want to know precisely which tests they ran and what these tests were looking for. That's the first thing. So if we're going to say, I've already done that, maybe not. So I'd like to know, okay, exactly what you did. Do you have copies of those labs? Can I take a look at them? I may not be able to interpret those, but at least I can say, well, okay, looks like you really didn't do as comprehensive as maybe you're thinking that you did. So let's just make sure we're comparing apples to apples here. So that's the first thing I like to know. And then also, was the practitioner that you worked with, were they competent? Did they know what they were looking at? Were they able to interpret those things properly? Maybe I've got an upper hand as far as that goes with experience or training. Could that be possible? You know, we think highly of ourselves around here, so I think in many cases that is the case. And so that's the first couple of things I'd like to ask that person.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, you have to you really got to put on your detective hat, right? And you have to look at, like, the intake forms you have these people fill out and see what types of things just kind of pop out at you that could be pointing its finger at some other connective issues. Because, right, we know the whole body and the brain is connected, and there are multiple factors here. So I would, you know, definitely be looking over all of the details a little bit with a little bit different kind of microscope, if you will, more looking for that correlative factors.
True. I think so. And another thing is, you know, what protocol did the person use to address that? What did they recommend to you? Was it done completely? Was it done all the way? I mean, it may have been a good protocol, but did that client actually follow through with that? That's another thing also. What was going on in that person's life at that time? Was there a whole lot of additional stress that, you know, almost no matter what you did on some areas, is it going to make that much of a difference? You know, if you've got something super, super stressful you're going through, you can do a lot of good things for your health that on a normal average day for you or time period in life would be enough to keep you healthy. But is it maybe the right timing here to do something more with you? So timing always plays into this 100%. And then, you know, the fact that maybe you said he's a vegan, is diet something that the other practitioner they worked with and got into deep enough to know maybe if that's the right diet for that person or not? Nothing against that diet might be the right one for that person, or maybe some tweaks and modifications that might be the way to go. Maybe they're on the opposite, totally barking up the wrong tree. Maybe they're on the other end of the spectrum, kind of like I was, going from a vegan diet to fast oxidizer protein type. That was a big revelation for me, so there's probably going to be something that you're picking up on through our testing or just through your skills and observation, and that you're just a person that figured it out. Plus, you know, that person also, the client, they've got more years underneath their belt of knowing themselves. So keep in mind that the pressure is not all on you to figure everything out. I always say that to trainees going into a session there. So, you know, you're going to learn something from that person. It's a partnership that we have here. It's not, okay, I figured everything out, I have arrived, here's your answers, here's your protocol, see you later. It's a back and forth thing with your client. So you're looking for that. I just did that this morning with a couple clients. We did 20 questions for a while, trying to pull some things out and figure out where things are going. And a couple of times she said, I just feel like this is what it is. Well, man, I'm jumping on that. I'm going with that. I love it when I hear some things like that. That person's more aware of their body, so it could be, again, going back to the timing thing, the right time there. So that's a long answer. Tess, you may have something else to add, but if you can make that succinct there, Chris, and say all those things to your client there that's looking at working with you potentially, maybe that'll bring them around to work with you. But Tess, anything else to add? Any other thoughts on that?
No, I mean, I think that's some pretty thorough, a pretty thorough conversation. I wonder if that answers Chris's question. He feels like he's got
let me bring
information
him back
there to kind of move forward.
Yeah. Chris, was that helpful to you, sir?
Yeah, no, that was great. I enjoyed it thoroughly. If I could, Tess had brought up a really interesting point on oxalates in that advanced course there. A couple of months before I had signed up with FDN, I had ran the Viome lab test on my wife, and we finally got her results back, and it told her to stay away from spinach because she doesn't have the pathway that properly detoxifies the oxalates. And with Tess mentioning that the oxalate advanced course is something to look more into if you're interested in that, because there's not a lot of information out there on the internet or whatnot about oxalates. So I just thought that was very interesting. And with the Viome test, would you recommend still running the 401H or the GI map just to look further to see if there's any type of bacterial things out of balance?
I would. Tess, what about you?
Yeah, I to be honest with you, I'm not super familiar with all the Viome tests, but I do know that when we start talking about different tests, sometimes it's apples to oranges, like you can't compare one to the other. They're showing us different things. So, yeah, I would too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, there's I guess, law of diminishing returns. Eventually, you're going to have too much information to sort through, but I think something like a Viome together with a GI map or 401H, I think that'd be powerful information, because you're, as far as my understanding on the Viome, I'm not an expert on that test, but I think you're sort of hitting it from both angles. I think for a long time we looked at stool tests and said, oh, we've got to, you know, attack and kill off these organisms. Let's just kill, kill, kill. So almost in that antibiotic mindset, but, oh, we're using some natural, quote, antibiotics, right, so herbs and things like that. But we know there's this symbiotic relationship. So I think we knew this all along, but I think bringing it more to the forefront, that's not only just knocking down some of the bad guys, but also building up some of the good guys and healing that mucosal lining and the inflammation that's going on, and putting in some prebiotics and trying to build up this and putting the right foods in, supplementation or foods, so you get some insight there. So I think you probably could join those together pretty good to ultimately restore the balance of the gut, because there's going to be a little bad and a lot of good, and there's going to be all this, again, symbiotic relationship that's going on. Yeah, I think it'd be wise.
Am I still here?
Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate the information. That's what I had in mind. I figured, you know, it's kind of like taking your car to multiple mechanics to get several different opinions before actually following through with a proper diagnosis. And I know that's not our objective here, diagnosing anything, but yeah, I was wanting to run a little bit further to kind of compare, like you said, the apples to apples, but having two different lab tests. I really like everything that FDN does. I love the philosophy, and this is excellent. It's great stuff. So thank you all so much for answering the questions that I had, and I really appreciate it.
You're welcome, Chris. Hey, we like you too. So thanks for being a part of our team.
Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, good questions there. Awesome.
Yeah,
maybe I'll say one more thing on that Chris brought up there. There's detective work. There's no lab that's going to tell you all the answers, and you can just look at the numbers, and it's going to spit out something to do. Any of the labs that do that, that's cool. That's in their algorithm. That's awesome. You know, they give you some information and feedback. But you just don't take that at face value. You've got to combine that with the person. And so there's the detective work. There's the thought process that you go through that's what we teach you in FDN, is how to look at that lab work, combine it with a person and their history and their symptoms and how they're presenting and all the different aspects we're putting together. And that's when you get a proper interpretation and also a really effective protocol. That's where it's at. All right. Good stuff. All right. Well, hey, we've got some more people with hands raised. This is wonderful. Tess, hope you're ready for them. Let's see who we've got.
Yeah, let's see
we've got
what we
303.
Can
I got 303 area code again here, but I got 668 as the next three numbers.
Yep. That's in Colorado. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Hi.
Sure can. What's your name?
This is Mona, and I'm in Colorado.
Hi, Mona.
And I had a few questions, actually. One is, I was hoping you could expand on the OATS test. When would you use it? What is it about? I don't know anything about it, but I am taking the course at the conference, which I'm looking forward to. My other question is regarding SIBO testing. I have a client who came to me and wants to do SIBO testing, and I was wondering if there is what the difference between the different SIBO testing with the lactulose, glucose, and fructose, and a combo test. I know that a lot of people work with the lactulose, but I was wondering just what is the difference? When would you use it? Why would you use it? Why is there a combo? Just why is it out there? And then she's already run the food sensitivity testing, but she doesn't want to do a whole slew of testing, so that's when she came for the SIBO testing. Would it be, would you suggest doing any other tests before SIBO, like say GI MAPS or something like that? Is that recommended before taking a SIBO, so you rule out other pathogens that might be the culprit?
Mm-hmm. Wow, awesome questions from you guys today. That's great.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's wonderful. It's very they're great questions. I definitely have opinions on SIBO. I'll get to that in a second as far as I go. But let's see. Let's talk about oat panels. You know, people have some different opinions about different tests, when to use them. I tend to use an oat panel. If I'm going to run one, it's going to be after I've done, you know, the basic FDN work, and I want to look for something else, or maybe we're not seeing some progress where we want to go. I'll tend to put that oat panel usually as a later on step. Now, Brendan, I know he likes to have that up front with what he does, because it does tell you quite a bit of information. It's a big, large swath of information in a lot of different areas and places. And, you know, he's very skilled at picking that apart and getting the relevant information. So you know, it can be used both different ways. What I would probably do, Mona, is if you're not a member of AFTMP yet, I think maybe you're still in training, but you can technically join as a trainee, to watch that OAT training that Brendan did. That'll probably give you some more insight, and maybe you can see where you would use it. There, that's probably where I would start. But I most of the time, it's going to be more of a secondary test later on for me. That's what I do. So, Tess, you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, traditionally, I was more trained that I used oats more with kids because there weren't a lot of options for testing kids other than like maybe doing a stool test. So that was sometimes handy. And but I myself, I'm going to be like you. I'm still learning a lot about the oat test because it's not something that I've used a lot myself. It's what kind of a newer, put it this way, it's a newer availability for us as FDNs. But a lot of my kids that I had worked with in the past have come to me from practitioners like naturopaths that have run oats. So that's where more of my familiarity is with it. So I'm not ready to put it as my very first front runner test, but I think that if you have certain suspicions, like Brandon teaches about if you suspect Lyme, you suspect mold, that it can be a really good go-to to kind of give you a heads up whether or not you ought to go further with those additional lab tests. Because, you know, the more we tack on, the more expensive it gets for our clients. So that might be a way to utilize it as well.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Good point about that for children. Yeah, so anytime you can not do a blood draw, blood draw mostly because they kind of suck, that's great.
Trauma there.
You know, not good, right? So not the ideal situation. Sometimes you need to, and you need the information that comes from that, right? But, yeah, that for children, there's a we get that question pretty often, you know, what can you do with children? Lots of things you can do with children and FD, and they go together really well. And usually it's less labs, so it's less expensive, and they turn around so quickly, and they need less supplementation. So it's pretty affordable, I feel like, if a parent wants to have their child, you know, work with an FDN practitioner. So, so that's the oat part. And then old SIBO. Yeah, I actually saw where you'd written in the question, Monel is going to try to cover it today here. So it was one of the first ones I wanted to talk about. Yeah, so SIBO, where does this fit in? So I'm pretty opinionated about that, and maybe somebody can you know, show me the light differently. But SIBO to me is never a first line test. Like, I don't think never ever for me it is. I'm going to go ahead and run our regular stool testing, run the five labs of FDN. So, because if you can work on the dietary aspect of things with the MRT and metabolic typing, and you can work on the gut with the stool testing and like an IP test or maybe the GI map, if you can work on those things, boy, I don't know, 98% of the time, 99% of the time, what I've seen and what I've heard from people, that fixes most SIBO situations where there's, you know, classic symptoms of SIBO. Just doing our basic protocols usually is enough. And I'll say usually is enough. So the time I might run a SIBO test would be sort of like an oat panel for me. Maybe it's the next step. Okay, we've ran, you know, two. I'd say at least give yourself three stool tests before you run a SIBO. Run the first one, do a protocol, rerun that stool test, see what's showing up on a secondary level. Maybe some new things pop up. Go through a secondary protocol, retest. And if you still have issues, then I might do a SIBO test and, you know, get more of a feel of what could be going on, and then what, you might go into a more SIBO-specific protocol. That's how I'm going to take it most of the time, but again, I'm trying to give up principles here. It's all we can do with this call here, not case-specific, but in general, that's the approach I would take. It's not a first-line one. I don't know if you did it first as a first-line, what would you do differently, or would it adjust your protocol all that much? Me, probably not a ton. I might make sure they've got maybe better motility, which we're going to be working on that anyhow. Maybe you may end up doing a little more dietary restriction, right? Maybe a low FODMAP diet, or you try to do something a little more specific with the MRT and the metabolic typing and low FODMAP. Maybe you combine all three of those if it's possible. I might do something different, but I just don't know that it's always going to yield enough information. And I guess on the other side, if the client just wants to know and wants to run that lab, and it's just something they've got, you know, stuck in their mind that they have to know this, if it doesn't keep them from running the other labs, if they just want to have that information and they want to spend that money, okay, that might be doing something positive for them on a psychological basis. So I'm not saying you wouldn't ever do it, but really, as far as practicality, that's what we try to be real practical with FDN. Is it needed? I wouldn't say a first line there. So that's always been my opinion, but I'm open to suggestions.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm gonna side with you on that one. SIBO is, I have done it very, very few times in my practice. I haven't needed to do it because, you know, once we go through that foundation work, we usually, you know, we'll make that progress. We don't need to go that far. And if we suspect it, we kind of already know what to do. So, you know, it's one of those things where if I don't need to do it, I'd rather see my client spend the money on something else that, you know, maybe another test or other support protocol. I have done it in the case of a client who had some pretty severe infections and was very symptomatic for it. And really her medical doctor wanted to see the results. So we ran it, but it didn't really change. I mean, it just validated what we already knew. It didn't really change what we were going to do.
Yeah, I just because it's, you can test for it and you can look for it and you can have that name or the information in front of you. You know, unless it has a big bearing on what you're going to recommend or on client motivation or their peace of mind or something on those lines, you can make that call. Unless it's going to do those things, no, I think, boy, you could run 12 tests, right? We could run three times the number of tests on
right.
people that's it's available. But what would you really do with that in practicality? So, now how's that, Mona? Does that help?
Yes, it does. It's interesting, though. I have so this client shows a lot of the symptoms of SIBO, but you know, who knows? It could be anything. And then I have another client who was running with a functional medicine doctor, and she had zero symptoms, and he had her do the SIBO, and she definitely had SIBO, and it was causing her osteoporosis. I thought it was interesting that you don't have to have any symptoms at all in order to have SIBO. That's why I wondered if you used it more.
Yeah, well, and that's the situation there. Is that's why we want to run five labs with every single person. So there will be things that are not issues that are strong in that person. There will be things that are issues there, and there will be a lot of hidden things. That's sort of, you know, the wellness meter video. So you lose, you know, before symptoms occur, they're one of the last stages of disease. And so symptoms are not our best gauge for how healthy we are, because you can lose, you know, 60% function before you even have symptoms. So those aren't always the best gauge. You know, case in point with the client I was working with this morning, you know, coming in to me several months ago and didn't have that many symptoms, but a few kind of odd ones. And then we ran all the tests and looked at so many different things and saw a huge amount of things to work on that she really had no idea, because she had taken pretty good care of herself. And so those symptoms were all still subclinical. You weren't getting above the waterline there where you could actually see them. Everything was below. So that just highlights the reason why we run so many labs, and we have that nice mixture of things to look at. Now, if you ran a stool test, would you have seen something on the stool test that, again, would it be the same thing you see on SIBO, and the approach would be the same? Good question. You know, so yeah. So I think it's great to run all those labs. You need to have the information there and rule things in or out. I've had, well, even multiple trainees that had no GI symptoms, but had a whole lot of things coming up on the gut, and on the stool testing. And, you know, IP tests looked terrible, or maybe the old 304. You saw a lot of reaction that was going on. That's not uncommon either. And so those things, you know, where there's, when you talk about organisms, you're going to have, I like to think about two different categories. You have, you know, overt GI symptoms that this organism can cause. But so many of these organisms, like you're talking about here with the osteoporosis aspect of things, they can cause a lot of non-GI symptoms. So that's where it's sort of avoiding the chasing of symptoms. Oh, this person doesn't have any gut issues. Nah, we can skip the stool test. Or, boy, they've got gut issues, so we're only going to run a stool test. We're not going to look at other things. So I think it's just trusting sort of in the system and saying, okay, this is going to be your best chance. So we're saying statistically, what I've seen over 10 years, and Reed's seen over a lot longer, and Tess has seen over, you know, probably close to 10 years now as far as lab testing goes, if not longer, that you know, this statistically is going to give you your best chance of figuring out what it is and what's going on, finding those root causes. But if you don't, that's when you can take it to the next level and you run an HTMA, a SIBO, and O panel. You know, go for those. You've got them. It's good to know that you've got them if you need to, because you'll figure it out. We're going to, unless there's those vital voids where you just need medication or something that's, you know, physically missing in that person's body, through the FDM methodology, you're gonna see a lot of progress. A lot of progress.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Good question, Mona. Thanks a lot for calling in. Sweet. Colorado representing 303. All right. Well, hey, we've got another hand raised here. This might take us through the end of the call here. So, I don't know, Tess, anything you want to add to any of Mona's questions before we go on to the third?
No, I think that's pretty thorough. I know that, you know, it can be difficult when a client comes and wants something specifically, and sometimes, you know, you end up having to kind of go that route, but you're the practitioner, so I think I know that it's okay for you to kind of explain your position and your platform on that, and offer them maybe a couple other options first. And ultimately, it is your decision, you know, so.
Yep, right. Yeah, I get to kind of res my, I think some clients come to you and they want to rule everything and dictate to you, and that res me the wrong way. But that's different than somebody that comes to you that just happens to be knowledgeable and can tell you that they're kind of sort of partnering up with you. They're not wanting to be like an equal or ahead of you and try to, you know, tell you how to work. You're an equal, or they understand that, hey, I don't have everything figured out, so there's some humility there. And so that's when you can really work together. That's where a synergy comes between practitioner and client there. So I think, yeah, watch out for those red flags sometimes. That can be maybe somebody you don't necessarily want to work with. May not be a good fit. All right. 949 area code. And 949,
hey Brandon,
what's your name?
It's Isabella.
Well, there's
how
Isabella.
You?
Hello. Doing awesome.
So
good to hear from you.
Yes. So just for Mona, too, I've done a year 300 testing, GI maps, and all that stuff. And Brandon and I suspected that I had SIBO. So my first was like, I don't want to run another test. So I just jumped straight into a FODMAP diet. I even did 2 days of the elemental diet, and I got my answer. Everything calmed down. So I kind of did not need to do the test. I did the protocol for a week, and I felt so much better that in my mind, oh, I got my answer. So you could put, and I, Destiny just threw a SIBO client to me, and I've been doing the same thing with her, and I got the same results. I'm like, I don't know, but instead of testing, do you want to just go on this diet for 2 weeks and then we'll see? And it was the same result. You know, it kind of calmed things down. And now I am doing the protocol, you know, I ordered the supplements, but I didn't even do with any supplements, just with the low FODMAP beginning, because I'm a little bit, I'm a little bit of a higher achiever. I decided to start on the elemental diet, and it really, really calmed, you know, my symptoms down.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe just
very good point.
But my question now is regarding, I need help again. I have an 11-year-old son. We ran GI map, nothing too obscure, you know, a few things here and there, and food sensitivity, all the classical for children, you know, the gluten. GI map came high on the anti-gliadin. And so we do a kind of like a 70% diet. He is 11. He goes to school. I can't control that much. So he is taking some gluten. But I've been noticing that he was like overly tired for a month and he was not recovering from a cold and a cough. So I decided to run a blood panel. And I'm kind of freaking out because it was alarming. Even on the lab core came high as an alert for iron saturation. And the TPO, the antibodies, were at 14, which in our range would be, you know, a little bit elevated. And I took a pediatrician, and pediatrician just gave the ferroabsorb from Thorne, which, again, I don't want to be dictating to the pediatrician, but I thought was kind of simplistic. Just give the iron, and especially because I was like, oh, if he has an infection, I'm giving iron, so I'm feeding the bug. So I'm kind of in a, again, like, what what can I do from a mother's standpoint and an FDN to help with this, you know, very low iron saturation. Everything was low. T3 was low, and the TPO was slightly high, and vitamin D is low. So any insight diet-wise or what else should I look for, since the pediatrician just wants to give the – and he's a naturopath, a functional one, like, so any thoughts?
What did you say the pediatrician wanted to recommend? I missed that.
Just like Thorn, it's called Ferro Absorbed. It's iron plus B vitamins and vitamin C pretty much, supplement from Thorn. I was kind of thorn because he does eat a lot of iron. You know, he eats liver and tons of black beans and acai. So in my mind, it's like he's not lacking iron. He's just not absorbing it. So throw more iron, you know.
What about have you run a hair tissue mineral analysis on this little one?
So I actually sent the hair in today.
I would like to know whether maybe he's, you know, what exactly is going on in the other ratio.
Yeah. I have the suspicion, too. That's why I did the hair. I just didn't do it early enough because he does urinate a lot very often. And that's what triggered me even before that to I need to check some minerals and stuff. Kind of started in the blood because I was already on a pediatrician and they did it right then.
Now, I'm going to recommend
that
if you aren't planning to do this, I'm going to recommend that you get a medical director's consult with Brandon here when that comes back in because, reading that HTMA isn't as straightforward as it seems. So he can really give you some insight there. What do you think, Brandon?
Yeah, I guess I'll let her book in. I won't come to the appointment when I get booked in. No,
you're already familiar with the family. You've checked his GI before.
indeed.
Yeah.
Happy to. I agree with Tess totally.
I think my main question for right now is I sent in the hair, so we're going to wait like, 2 weeks for that. Would right now, because the saturation was so low, like, do I give the supplement? Do I not? Is it going to give? Really? Or just do nothing and wait. It's hard for a mom.
What symptoms is he having?
He's 11 and high, usually bouncing off the walls. He's just at 7:30 p.m. He says, "Mom, I need to go to bed. I'm tired."
Mm-hmm.
And he has a cough for 4 weeks. We checked the lungs. There's nothing on the lungs. The pediatrician just said, "Oh, it's allergies, it's environmental allergies," and I'm like, oh God, you know, it's like, I feel like they are running me in circles, and I respectfully don't say much because I'm asking for their help. So this time I just raised a question on the iron. I'm like, I think he eats a hefty iron, and she just kind of did not really want to answer me on that. Like, give the supplement and he will be all right.
I'd say, but since it's only a couple weeks, so maybe even less than that before we get the HTMA back, I might go ahead and experiment with some iron supplementation, probably, you know, a whole food liver heme-based iron, and see what, just go slow and see what things you notice and see if you see some energy come up. I think I would just play with that a little bit and see if iron and B vitamins do make a difference. It's probably not, maybe I don't know enough about it, but it's probably not going to be that big of an issue. I think I would just sort of focus on trying to get like a glandular or some kind of desiccated liver or liquid liver or something like that that's a heme-based one, and just take it nice and slow and see if you notice some difference with that. That might give some relief and give you some peace of mind until we get some more labs back.
Okay. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. That's what I would do.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sure. You're welcome, Isabella. So we'll get them figured out. That's the cool thing about this. We got a whole team sort of working on it, right? So now everybody that's listening, they might have some insight. I know you come on and you always give a good. You always seem to make a good comment, add an answer to somebody else's question, and then you ask your own. So it'll come back to you.
All right.
Awesome.
Thank
you. Well, thanks,
you.
Isabella. All right. We'll talk soon. Very cool. Wow. Good questions. This go around, guys. Good stuff. Some tough things, but also some things just to work through. Sometimes we don't always have the answer. I want to get into that case a little bit with her and ask a few more questions. It's hard to do on the air there and have something in front of me. But yeah, these things. It's pretty cool, the process. You know, these things, the answers and what's really truly going on just seems to bubble to the surface after enough communication and talking and information. So you've got to trust that a little bit too. I used to be like, well, if the answer doesn't come to me within the first 3 seconds, then I don't know what to do. I had to get over that. I think maybe that was just a old grade school thing for me. So if I didn't know the answer, you know, to the test immediately, I probably wasn't going to know it because I didn't study that part of it. But this is a different type of work. So again, going back to that, take the pressure off of yourself. Let that conversation evolve. Ask some questions. See if you can figure out what's going on. And then you just pick a path and you go with it and you probe, you analyze, and you see what happens and what shifts. That's a lot of what you're going to do as a practitioner. That's just how it is. Some things we can be really certain about. But we still, regardless, we do sequence and titration. And we take things slow and listen to the body and make adjustments as we need to.
Yeah, I kind of like that. You know how you... we're in this thing. We were kind of taught when we were taking tests too. If we, you know, go with that first answer, and if it's, you know, if you know, you got to go with that gut answer, that's got to be the one. And if you hesitate, that's not the answer. But I think that's a little different in what we do, because I tell you what, I do some of my best thinking in the shower. I don't know about you, but that's where a lot of ideas. You know, you ponder. You maybe sleep on a case. You know, and it's kind of, it's rolling around in your head, and then the next morning you get up, you get in the shower, and you're like, oh, I got to look at that. I think this could be, you know, something I want to check into. So yeah,
mm-hmm.
You have to allow sometimes that thought process to work.
Yes, I don't know how many times I wish I had like waterproof pen and paper in the shower, because
yeah,
I get creative in the shower
yeah.
too. The thoughts kind of even just, you know, marketing things or just a way to communicate some things. Yeah, it does happen. Maybe we're just away
is.
From everything and quiet.
Yeah, that's
I don't
what
know.
I was gonna say. You know why that is? It is. That's exactly it. It's because you cannot be creative. Your brain cannot be creative if it has too much going on, if you're overwhelmed, if you're stressed, if you have, you know, you're just overloaded with too much information, doing too many things at once. And it's been shown that in the shower, the brain is at its quietest place, because normally the only thing that is going on is more the sort of rote things that you always do. Most people never even pay attention at the sequence of how they shower. They just do it the same every day. So that just frees up the brain, you know, that autonomic nervous system thing going on. So that just frees up the brain to be creative. So it actually, it works that way for a lot of people.
That's super cool. Well, take away from that. Take more showers.
Right, there you go.
Can be good for you in lots of different ways.
Yep.
Well,
you didn't know that's how we were ending the conversation today.
No, that's good. So yeah, everybody go get a shower, and you'll have a better afternoon, right? And a good weekend.
There we go.
Awesome. Well, good stuff here. That was a good call. So we've got just a few seconds left in the call. Congratulations again to our graduates, Dan, Raquel, and Jenna, and for our callers here. So that was Chris and Mona and Isabella, of course, one of our regulars. So, guys, thanks for a great call. You guys have an awesome weekend. And, Tess, as always, thanks for joining me, contributing your knowledge. You're such a wonderful person.
Oh,
so
welcome.
Glad to have you on the call again. All right.
Well, thank you so much. I think I'm going to be hanging out with you again here in a couple of weeks, I hear. So I'll look forward to it.
Me too. We'll talk then, guys. All right. Everybody have a good weekend. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.